Mr. Watson?
Yes, sir.
Good morning to you.
Art Watson, representing myself. Per Nebraska Revised Statute 25-21.159, the lower court did not have jurisdiction to hear the appellee's declaratory request. Robertson v. School District Number 17 states, the presence of necessary parties to a suit is a jurisdictional matter and cannot be waived by the parties. It is the duty of the plaintiff to join all persons who have or claim any interest which could be affected by the judgment. And Travelers Indemnity Company v. Household Interns states, a contracting party is the paradigm of an indispensable party. The appellee argues on pages 10 and 11 of the transcript that the insurance companies have a contracted right via the title policy to participate in the proceedings. It's duplicitous for the appellee to argue that the insurance companies have a contracted right to participate in the proceedings, but then also to argue that they are not an interested party. The insurance companies are liable for a deed via the title policy. The declaratory request specifically addresses the deed insured by the policy. The lower court also erred in finding the Mutual of Omaha deed of trust valid. Nebraska Revised Statute 76-211 requires a deed be acknowledged. The statutory sufficiency of the Mutual of Omaha deed of trust is at question, and the standard of review for statutory interpretation presents a question of law for which an appellate court has an obligation to reach an independent conclusion, irrespective of the determination made by the court below. State v. Russell.
Counsel, what do you, or Mr. Watson, what do you think the legal meaning of an acknowledgement is? What is an acknowledgement?
According to, I forget the specific statute, I believe it's 76-216, it's the acknowledgement of the signing of it, and for a lawful acknowledgement to exist, there has to be a certificate contained. Johnson v. Ness speaks at great length, but there is no proof of acknowledgement absent a certificate of acknowledgement.
So is it when the person who is signing a deed appears in front of the notary public and says, yes, I signed the deed, that's my signature, and I did it voluntarily. Is that what the acknowledgement is? Or do you think the acknowledgement is when the notary signs a certificate saying, the person appeared before me and acknowledged that it was the act?
According to Johnson v. Neff, it would actually be the certificate that is the proof of acknowledgement. In other words, if the notary doesn't fulfill their statutory requirements, then there is no proof of acknowledgement. Therefore, there is no acknowledgement.
Can an incorrect certificate be corrected to reflect the truth of what occurred?
According to Johnson v. Neff, no. And then also, Troyer v. Mundy states that parole evidence is not admissible as proof a deed was acknowledged by a grantor, and that the recitals contained in the notary certificate of acknowledgement are not subject to impeachment by such evidence. Christensen v. Arendt states, when statutory requirements of a signature and acknowledgement by both husband and wife to the encumbrance of a homestead are wanting, they cannot be supplied by estoppel.
I'm not sure that you've... I think you've introduced two other concepts, parole evidence and estoppel, but that's not what I'm asking you. I'm asking you if the very same notary public who purportedly was the one who had the person appear and say, this was my voluntary act in signing this instrument, and that person makes a mistake in the certificate and later attempts to correct the certificate, does the notary public have the authority to correct his or her own certificate to reflect the truth?
The lower court found that the certificate provided in the corrective deed of trust did not meet statutory requirements.
And what was the basis of that ruling?
They said that it didn't. I would have to look it up specifically in the order.
Thank you.
At the same time that you executed the deed of trust for the property, you also executed a second deed at the same time that you executed the first deed of trust. There was a another deed or warranty deed executed for a second lender?
That's correct.
Yeah.
But the mutual of Omaha was not a party to that deed of trust.
But your wife or your ex-wife signed that document and was notarized by the same notary at the same time contemporaneously with the execution of the first deed of trust.
Actually, I don't remember the specific order of events. I don't remember if it was in the same room, same time, and I don't believe any of the parties did specifically remember.
You're not disputing it's the same notary, aren't you?
No. No, Your Honor.
And the deeds were executed on the same day?
That's correct, but for different purposes.
Well, different. They were deeds to different lenders.
Correct, and as the appellee will tell you, they had different purposes. The intent was for one to be a secondary mortgage and the other one was intended to be for first.
There were priorities, yes.
Correct.
First and second.
What was the different purpose, though? Were they used to pay off a loan on the property?
In general, in total, yes, they were. But the purpose of the second deed of trust, to which Mutual of Omaha is not a party to, was to be a second mortgage, so that's the difference in the purpose.
But the purpose was to be used to pay for the purchase of the property, is that correct? Whether they're first and second.
That is correct.
The total amount of the loans were used to buy the property.
That's correct, and I guess you can continue to take it to a global, you know, show that purpose over 10 years was to finance a property.
Well, here, it was a refinancing. It wasn't the original purchase, was it?
It was the original.
It was the original purchase.
From Reserve Design was the builder. It was a purchase from the original. It wasn't a refinance.
Okay, thank you.
And you were a member of Reserve Design, is that correct?
That's correct.
So Reserve Design built the house, had a loan on it. You bought the home from Reserve Design. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And the monies for these two loans were used to buy that piece of property. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. So is that a purchase money security interest?
No, sir. Purchase money security interest as defined is when the seller retains a portion of part or all of the purchased property for the property.
Is that the only definition?
In Black's Law. But the bank was not the seller of the property.
Is that the only definition of a purchase of money security interest?
There's several. McKenzie v. J.J. and Associates also supplies some other information on that. I'd like to save my remaining time.
Thank you very much. Mr. Stelnacher, good morning.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court, I'm John Stelnacher, and I represent Mutual of Omaha. I just want to state at the outset that we are asking this court to affirm the ruling of Judge Colbert in the trial court. At the trial court level in our motion for summary judgment, Mutual of Omaha Bank presented a number of theories under which we believe that the what is referred to as the Mutual of Omaha Bank or the Mutual of Omaha Deed of Trust could be found valid. One of those theories was the concurrent documents theory, which has been discussed here already this morning. And we believe that the court accurately and correctly applied that theory. Before I get too far into it, I want to just correct a couple of things that were stated earlier. Actually, Mutual of Omaha Bank was not an initial party to the transaction. Mr. Watson throughout has made an argument that Community Bank of Lincoln is a party to the second deed of trust and Mutual of Omaha Bank is a party to the first deed of trust. And in reality, both loans, both deeds of trust initially were with Community Bank of Lincoln. And therefore, that supports the contention that the parties to all the documents were the same. I also want to get a little bit into one of the questions that Judge Castle asked. The acknowledgement is done by the person signing the document. Acknowledgement is not something that's done by the notary. Now, the notary executes a certification, a certificate of acknowledgement. I'm not...
The district judge didn't rely on that, on whether or not an incorrect certificate of acknowledgement can be corrected to to reflect the truth of what happened. That wasn't the basis that the district court chose to rely upon.
That's correct. And in fact, one other point I wanted to just point out is that the language regarding whether a certificate of acknowledgement can be corrected via a corrective deed of trust was not really part of the, it was placed in a footnote, and I believe, I don't have the order in front of me, but I believe the language was something to the effect of that the court was not sure if that could be done pursuant to the statute that was cited earlier. Mutual Law Bank would submit that it can be, and that there's no statutory or case law authority saying that it cannot.
Is there any, does a title insurance company owe the seller any obligations under this agreement?
Simply put, no.
That they're insuring the mortgagee's rights under the contract.
That's correct. This title, this policy of title insurance ensures that the Mutual Omaha deed of trust will be a priority position. And that is it.
There's no obligation to pay off any debt owed by the mortgagor.
Not currently, Your Honor.
I mean, that wouldn't be part of the title insurance policy.
Well, the way the title insurance works is when there is a claim by an insured under a policy of title insurance. Title insurer has the option to defend or clear title. And if it is unable to do so, then there may be a situation where it has some financial obligation. In this particular case, and I know Mr. Watson referenced the necessary party argument earlier, and frankly, the language he cited was quite telling, and it actually supports Mutual Omaha Bank's position here. The contractual relationship we're talking about here is one between initially Community Bank of Lincoln and Mr. Watson, now Mr. Watson Bank. If you look at the deed of trust, Old Republic is not a party to it, and therefore is not a party to this action. They're not a necessary party, and frankly, neither is Union Title.
What's your best authority for application of the concurrent document doctrine in the context of real estate? And I understand we're talking about maybe a one step removed with these deeds, but it is all underlying a real estate deal.
That's correct. And the authority that we've cited, and I'll be frank with the court, I could not find a case that deals with a deed of trust, dealing with the concurrent documents doctrine.
And kind of what implicit in this is real estate's different in terms of its clarity. In terms of who owns it and registering with the clerk and all that kind of stuff. It's got a lot more doodads than common contracts, so to speak.
Well, that is correct. And you know, we do have a recording system. We have deeds that allow you to go back through the chain of title. And I do believe the
they need to be sound to be meaningful if you go take a look for recordation.
That's true. But I do believe that, I'm sorry, not the Fisher case, the Farmers Insurance case, while it is not, it's not directly on all fours with this situation, but it is a real estate case. And one of the interesting statements by the court in that case is that the court should not elevate form over substance. And that is the theory underpinning the concurrent documents doctrine, where the homestead exemptions, the homestead statute regarding acknowledgments was passed by the legislature in order to make sure that a husband or a wife could not encumber or transfer a title of their property without the other one being aware of it. The concurrent documents doctrine was put into place because there are situations where the concern of the homestead statute is not there, particularly in a case like this where both husband and wife are clearly intending to become the owners of the property and to encumber their interest in the property. That is evidenced by both deeds of trust, which, by the way, I should point out, there is absolutely no dispute in the record that both Mr. Watson and Mrs. Watson at the time executed and acknowledged both deeds of trust.
Was that done kind of simultaneously and contemporaneously?
Yes.
With the first deed of trust was executed, would have a prior date then, and then the second deed of trust would be executed subsequently too.
Well, actually, in standard practice, what happens is they're both executed at the same time.
Well, you've got to be careful then when you record, who records first.
That's exactly right. The instructions to the title agent or whomever is going to be recording it are instructed to record this deed of trust first and this deed of trust second so that they're recorded in the proper order.
And the second deed of trust holder isn't making any claim to priority, are they?
That's correct. The second deed of trust holder is Community Bank of Lincoln, although now it goes by a different name. And they did not file any responsive pleading in this case. In fact, nobody did other than Mrs. Watson and Mrs. Watson.
And at one time it was mentioned that there was a, could this be a purchase money security mortgage? I think all mortgages probably would be purchase money security mortgages.
Well,
is there anything under the UCC that relates to this? There is such a thing as a purchase money security interest.
There is, and frankly, the UCC is not something that I prepare. I'm not.
You don't think it has any application? Right, you're not. It doesn't have any application here.
Well, I don't think it's necessary to get into that issue here.
It might be relevant if all this money was being gathered to take care of some previous obligation.
I would agree, but in this case,
that's kind of the essence of a PMSI.
But in this case, a purchase money mortgage is, and I want to be clear about this, a purchase money mortgage is not something in the standard parlance and common law that is solely a carryback loan or a carryback interest. It is a security interest granted to someone, whether it's the seller or a third party, who has funded the purchase.
And it helps the recipient get through a rough patch.
It's intended to give priority to the person who makes this loan over existing liens on whatever the property is involved.
Well, that's correct.
Or otherwise, the lender wouldn't make that loan.
That's correct. And in fact, in this case, while we're talking about the purchase money mortgage, while I do believe that Judge Colburn's opinion was absolutely correct, it was a much simpler resolution potentially to just say this is a purchase money mortgage and therefore the homestead statute doesn't apply. And that is the case law from the Proud case. Cited in a brief, which states that the purchase money mortgage interest attaches prior to the homestead, and therefore
by signing that mortgage, the intent of the husband and wife are to waive their homestead interest and everything else.
Well, I don't know about to waive it, but to subordinate it to the purchase money mortgage.
But for the purchase money mortgage, there wouldn't be a homestead allowance.
That's exactly correct.
Things fail without the purchase money.
Well, of course.
Security interest, so the latecomer to things that are already iffy wants first position.
Well, of course. And without the purchase money mortgage, in this case, the Mutual Omaha, the loan secured by the Mutual Omaha Deed of Trust, Mr. Watson would not own the home.
So is that the end all?
Well, I would ask that the court affirm Justice Colburn's order because I believe that its application of concurrent documents doctrine was correct. However, I also believe that Judge Colburn could have decided in Mutual Bank's favor based upon this issue of.
And was that argued before the district
court? It was. I see my time is up. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal?
2 minutes.
2 minutes and 10 seconds, Mr. Watson.
The title insurance policy does prescribe that there would be a payment to Mutual Omaha in the amount of $417,000 if the deed of trust is invalid. In the United States Court of Appeals, 8th Circuit says, states that either they insure or they don't insure. It's not the province of the court to relieve a title insurance company of its contractual obligations. Universal Title Company v. United States, August 27, 1991. And without intervention from the court, that deed of trust is invalid on its face because it wasn't lawfully acknowledged. Therefore, they owe a duty to Mutual Omaha for that amount.
Are you a party to that title insurance?
Yes, sir.
Are you a party to that title insurance policy?
I am a party in the fact that affects my property, and I am the one that purchased the policy for that express intent, to insure the lender. Lenders require borrowers to buy insurance in the event that they end up with an invalid title.
Are you named insured?
I am named in the property or in the deed of trust, not the named insured. I purchased it for the benefit of the bank. But that's exactly what this court is doing, is relieving them of their contractual obligations through a declaratory request to which they're not a named party.
The court has made a determination that there isn't an obligation on this debt because the party you've executed the deeds, and the court's determined that you, both of you executed and acknowledged these deeds. And therefore, there isn't a defect on the title that would obligate the insured to pay off your debt.
Well, and that's where my statement is, that the court lacked jurisdiction to hear the matter because all of the obligation, all the contractual obligations on the deed were not before the court when they entered their declaration. The obligations of the title insurance company were not before the court.
The title insurance company doesn't guarantee to pay off the entire debt. It just guarantees that the lender will get clear title.
Correct. And I'm also not saying that the deed is invalid. The bank still has the right to pursue me for payment through the note. I have not asked this court to absolve me of my obligation. I just said that the deed is invalid.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next case of the day is State